This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with our anchorman, Paul Rasmussen, will continue to bring you the latest from Rome on the passing of Pope Francis yesterday morning at the age of 88. And again, we now know he died of a stroke and then followed by heart failure and was pronounced dead at 7:35 yesterday morning. The plans are now coming and shaping into place of the process of the week, and the funeral will be on Saturday. Meanwhile, if you mention property assessments, people cringe. And a lot of talk over the years has been about Allegheny County. And when people hear about this process, it gives them, you know, whatever it is when you get heartburn. State Senator Wayne Fontana is our guest, who has been a longtime public servant in the 42nd district he represents. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
I don't have to tell you, when people hear property assessments, it gives them that feeling. However, it's something that practically has to happen, but has been so difficult to sort through the details. But you have a plan that would require all the counties in the state to do this at least every 5 years, right?
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. I'm putting it together through a couple of hearings that we've had this past year, both one in Pittsburgh and one in Harrisburg, and gathering all the facts about what other states are doing. Our property assessment system in Pennsylvania certainly is broken. The majority of our counties do not conduct assessments at all. That makes Pennsylvania the only state using a base year assessment system that does not assess on a schedule. So, you know, being that as it may, we're like the poster child of how not to operate a property assessment system around the country. So I'm putting together some facts and figures and ideas about how to do it, and we'll see what happens. I'm not naive. I realize that the elected officials out there don't want to vote for it. They're afraid of it. But the fact of the matter is, as I mentioned, we're the only state that hasn't done one and don't do it on a scheduled basis. So my plan will say probably every 5 years is the norm here.
And that process, and by the way, I'm shocked to find out that Pennsylvania is the only state that doesn't go through this process. I mean, sometimes we are accused of being archaic in this state at time to time, but that's seems to be ridiculous. Now, that said, people say, okay, who's doing the reassessments? And everybody's concerned that their taxes are going to go way up. And sometimes it's not the county taxes, it's the basis on which the school tax then, which is a much higher number, gets levied. And people say, look, I'm on a fixed income, I can't do this.
Yeah, so, you know, when you look at your taxes, 70% of your total tax is probably your school tax. And as you know, here in Allegheny County, the school district is the one that sued the county to do one. That's still in court. The school district lost on the first round here because it said the court said they didn't have standing. But they're appealing that. But this is what the case will be all through the state. No one's going to do a property assessment unless they're sued. And who sues? And you know, it's usually a school district like that, or sometimes it's just citizens that realize that it's not fair. To your point, it doesn't always, your taxes don't always go up. And this is about fairness and quality and efficiency. That's what this is about. There's people that are not paying their fair share, which means others are paying more than they should. So there's things in the put in there like revenue neutral, not for every house, but overall. So you have to lower your millage. You can't collect more money than you're already collecting, not individually, but overall. But also for folks that they worry about if they're poor, their incomes are down. That's what the homestead exemption is about. That's what property freezes for seniors is about. These are the types of things that you can implement into the system, county to county, if you feel like it, you should do that. So it's sort of enabling type of legislation where you say, this is, you need to do it every 5 years. How you do it, it's up to you as the county. You know, what other programs you put into place to help people, that's up to you. And that way, some will go up, some will go down, and some are going to stay the same. There's no question about that. You know, we're not in reinventing the wheel here. Other states, as I mentioned, every other state has done it. And by the way, other states have approved it. People have put votes up in order to get it done. So, you know, this is me trying to inform everyone, make sure they're informed about what really will happen, trying to take the fears away that, oh, my taxes are going to go through the roof. That's not necessarily the case. But there are folks, very, very, let's say, able folks that are paying way less than they should.
Senator Fontana, what kind of support are you building in Harrisburg for this?
Well, interesting enough, in Harrisburg, everybody behind the scenes will tell me you should do this. This should be done, especially because we're the only state. But when I turn around, there's nobody there. they just don't want to sign on and be co-sponsors of the legislation. Every group I talk to, every group out there, and yes, we should do it. We know it's unfair. We need the consistency. You know, we had realtors testify that says people, you know, in businesses don't necessarily want to come here because of the uncertainty of the property assessment system. And, you know, they're moving from county to county. Allegheny County does a property assessment. People move to Washington or Butler or Beaver because they don't do it. That's not the way it should be.
Well, we'll stay in touch and curious. I know Allegheny County meets tonight at 5. And they'll talk about assessments in part, but interested right. to hear where this goes, Senator. Appreciate the time this morning.
Well, my pleasure. Anytime, Larry. Thank you.
You got it. Senator Wayne Fontana, representing the 42nd District, is a Brookline guy.
You know, Larry, it seems to me that one of the problems that we're facing is because there is such inconsistent and lengthy periods of time that stretch between assessments. I mean, during those years, the cost of stuff goes up. The cost of government goes up. The cost the government has to pay to do the things that they do for the community goes up. But the tax assessments remain the same, and the revenue doesn't grow along with the community. I can see that would be a problem. Maybe every 5 years is an answer.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of counties that don't do it, we were like, nah, we don't want to start doing that now. However, if people knew it was done as fairly as humanly possible, wasn't arbitrary, that would help a lot.
And the conversation that's being had this morning specifically about Allegheny County could just as easily be happening in any other, Westmoreland, Washington, Butler, etc.
Absolutely. So we'll follow that story because that will be a major story if he gets traction. It's time we check in with another medical professional brought to you by Independence Health System Expert Care here. And today, my pleasure to introduce you to Dr. Thomas Mazzanegro, who is an orthopedic surgeon from Tri-Rivers Muscles
and bones, Larry. Muscles and bones.
Tom and I have known each other a long time in Pittsburgh. You're a half person from everyone. So I met Tom and his wife at gymnastics with our two daughters. And now we're on the next generation of athletes. But I think when I first met you, you were just about to become a surgeon, right, Tom?
That's exactly right. I was in my last year of training at UPMC.
And here you are now 20 plus years performing surgery, hip, knee replacement, and other things at the Butler Memorial Hospital. Full disclosure, Dr. Mazzanegro did my meniscus, and everything went perfectly. Thank you, Doc. Thanks to you, I'm walking upright.
You're welcome, buddy, as always. And it's a pleasure to be on the show with you guys today.
And I know that over the years, there have been tremendous innovations, too. And you've been part of the evolution and development of joint replacements. So kind of walk us through that, since you've now had, you know, multiple decades of doing this kind of surgery.
You got it. So back when I was in training, when I first met you, we would typically, if you had end-stage arthritis of the hip or knee and you failed all conservative measures, we would do your surgery, your total hip or your total knee, and we would admit you to the hospital for 3 to 7 days. And then commonly, if it was your aunt or uncle, your mom or dad, meaning our grandparents, you might even go to rehab afterwards. And that's why we were learning really to optimize patients, but also optimize the procedure and the post-operative rehabilitation. And I would call that the late 80s to 90s, late 90s. And then when I came out, we were still doing a model like that. I'd say 3 to 5 days admission to the hospital and typically a rehab for the older patients. And about a decade ago, we started looking at, could you do this safely at
going up?
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Home. And that began obviously with healthier patients with less disease. But as we continue to work on what we call optimization, we've found that really many patients are good candidates to be fixed and go home, kind of like you did with your meniscus, but after a total hip or a total knee. And certainly up in this region, that's a newer kind of concept.
Yeah, and I'm sure welcome, but the process that you go through also with the technology that's been brought to bear with the actual joint replacement, you know, what do you do inside there when you're, let's take a knee replacement. So both are very common, but I hear a lot of people saying they had their knees done. What's actually happening?
Sure. So knee replacements are more common than total hip replacements. And so what I would tell you is if you have end stage arthritis, and I usually use the example of like either an old cowboy, like so bow-legged, or sometimes you've seen people who seem to be a little knock-kneed, right? So that cartilage is worn out, and there's basically three layers of cartilage in both the inside and outside of your knee. So when you lose all three, you're bone on bone, essentially. And if you fail all the natural conservative measures, we do the surgery and knee replacement, in which basically these days we make an incision, most of us do a medial parapatella. That's kind of a big way of just go on the inside of the knee and slide your kneecap to the side so we can see it. And then we just shave the femur and the tibia, and we're going to put a new cap, and we're going to do something called balancing, which gets your ligaments rebalanced so that you have, you know, a balanced joint space. And then we put a new shock pad in there for you. So if you come in with severe bone on bone and you're not, bow-legged, which we call varus, you would be less bow-legged and straighter. And it's most of the implants these days are more bone sparing, which means we leave most of the natural knee in there. And we always use your own muscles and tendons to move you, and we still balance your ligaments like we always have.
And something very new is same-day discharge for total hip and knee surgery. Walk us through who's a candidate for that and how prevalent is that becoming?
Sure. So that's becoming more and more prevalent literally every day. We've gone from 0 2 years ago to roughly 33%. So that's pretty quick. Some days where more than half of the patients go home the same day yesterday, more than half. But that takes a big team effort. So that's my team, Jason and Zach, all my assistants, it's your therapist, it's your friends and family, it's your medical team. You have to be really optimized and motivated and a good candidate. And then what we do is the same total knee we always did, give you great total knee or total hip. We have made advancements in conjunction with our friends in anesthesia, so you're more comfortable these days than the old days immediately after the knee. And we have you getting physical therapy either in the PACU, meaning the recovery room, or immediately when you go next door. So we've kind of expedited everything. And if you're a good, healthy candidate, you can talk to your surgeon and see, you know, am I a candidate to go home? And it's a real patient satisfier, not to use a big word, Larry, but like people like to go home and feel better. I'd rather go home with Debbie and have her and the kids and grandkids and dogs around than be in a hospital bed. So I think that's where most people are headed.
And we invite you to find out more. Reach out to Tri Rivers, Dr. Thomas Mazzanegro, operating at Butler plus 20 years. And good to see you on the radio. Doc, I hope your family is doing well.
We're doing well. We hope that your family is doing well. And I'd like to end with one shout out to Butler and to Tri Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. We did get a nomination for top 10% nationally in outpatient total joints. We achieved 5 stars for total knee replacement outpatient same day and an excellence award as well for same day surgeries.
I knew when I met you, you'd be a rock star.
You made me that way, Larry. Thank you.
All right, Tom, thank you. All the best.
Have a great day.
You too.
See you, buddy.
Brought to you by Independence Health System, expert care here. He is one of the best. He is just a personable guy, and patients love him because he has such a tremendous bedside manner and, as you heard, award-winning. Dr. Thomas Mazzanegro. Today is the Big K Morning Show. It's Earth Day. What does that mean to you? I don't know. 55 years ago today, it's World Earth Day. Aaron, you're going to be participating in our Odyssey Pittsburgh, all 5 radio stations, volunteering for one thing. And this year, they'll be helping clean up a neighborhood on the north side.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Did they give you any detailed instructions?
Just the time and location. And we'll know. We know a little bit of what we're doing.
And the hip waiter boots that you'll need?
I have not heard about these.
I'm just suggesting you. Well, you'll see. Meanwhile, I don't know, did your generation pay much attention to Earth Day, like when you were in high school or college?
Yeah, so I did cheerleading, and I remember, along with the football team, maybe once a year, me, other cheerleaders, and like the JV and senior football players would go on a highway and pick up trash. So I would say that's the extent. It's not, I don't think we would, you know, say, oh, this is Earth Day, even though, you know, it's been around forever.
55 years.
Yeah.
To be exact. For you, that's forever. For me, that, I was here. Meanwhile, the Democratic primary debate is on KDKA May 8th at 9:30. And your opinion, your voice matter. And here's a really unique way that you can get involved. We want questions from you via the voice message opportunity in our Odyssey app. All you have to do is tap the microphone on the KDK page. And of course, if you haven't done so, download the free app, AUDACY, and be logged in to use your voice message. We want you to formulate a question for the candidates that may be used during that debate. And again, download the Odyssey app, AUDACY. If you haven't done so, it's really great because you can take us with you wherever you go and click on that microphone and ask a question, and we'll be able to utilize that. Speaking of which, one of the candidates, Corey O'Connor, Democratic candidate for mayor, is going to be in studio here in our 8 o'clock hour. So that's coming up. We have a lot to ask. Meanwhile, we continue to follow the passing of Pope Francis yesterday morning at 7:35 Rome time at the age of 88. And in Rome is CBS's Tina Kraus.
St. Peter's Square is filling up quickly this morning with the faithful streaming into the Basilica, where Pope Francis's body will soon lie in state. Behind closed doors, cardinals have a lot of business to discuss. Toward the top of the list is choosing a date for the Pope's funeral.
The faithful flock to St. Peter's Square for a second day to mourn the death of Pope Francis.
It's just a very sad day.
The world worshipers also gathered for special mass services to honor the man known as the People's Pope, including Paris's famed Notre Dame, the pontiff's hometown, Buenos Aires, Argentina, and also in cities across the U.S.
I was away from the church for many, many years, and it was because of Pope Francis that I came back to embrace my faith.
World landmarks also paid tribute overnight. The Eiffel Tower went dark. New York's Empire State Building lit up gold and white.
In a statement, the Vatican confirmed the 88-year-old pontiff died yesterday from a stroke that put him into a coma and caused irreversible heart failure.
The statement also noted the Pope's five-week-long hospitalization for double pneumonia earlier this year. He was still recovering when he made his final appearance at Sunday's Easter services. Cardinals sealed the papal apartment yesterday. Soon, Pope Francis's body will lie in state at St. Peter's Basilica. In his will, the Pope left instructions for a simple burial at Rome's Basilica of St. Mary Major, with a one-word inscription on his tomb, Franciscus. World leaders are now preparing to make their way to Rome for the Pope's funeral, expected to take place this week.
He was a good man.
President Trump confirmed on social media that he and the First Lady plan to attend.
Last year, Pope Francis changed plans for his own funeral, the first change to funeral rites at the Vatican in 24 years. He decided that he wanted to remove much of the pomp and pageantry, instead emphasizing humility and simplicity, two things that Pope Francis had become famous for.
CBS is Tina Kraus in Rome. And yesterday, we had the honor to speak with Cardinal Dan DiNardo, who was a Pittsburgher, grew up at Castle Shannon, went to St. Anne's Elementary School back in the day, became a priest, a founding pastor of Saints John and Paul in Franklin Park, and then made a bishop, sent to Iowa, and then to Houston, which is the fifth largest Catholic in terms of the number of population in Houston, and retired from active duty as a bishop there and a cardinal, but is still part of what happens next, the conclave. And we had, this is what he said about the process.
There's an immediate kind of protocol. It's as though tradition and protocol help us deal with grief, maybe. And that will take place over the next few days. And then the cardinals, we've already been summoned to Rome. But when the see is vacant, we call it, the Pope has died, then the general congregation or meetings are run by cardinals to get things ready for the election of a new pope, and that will take some weeks, I think, to do over a period of mourning. And then those of us who are under 80 will be secluded into the Sistine Chapel then for the election of a new pope.
Cardinal Dan DiNardo, he also went on to say, surprisingly, it's not as political as you might think behind those closed doors in the Sistine Chapel. Once again, coming up, we'll look forward to Corey O'Connor in studio right after the news at 8.
From the Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk.
When we embrace mercy and when we give it, thank God that we had such a good teacher in Pope Francis.
That's Bishop David Zubik speaking at a special mass last night at St. Paul Cathedral in Oakland.
And what we do know now is the funeral officially will be on Saturday.
And viewing begins on Wednesday, tomorrow. Governor Josh Shapiro says he's ready to return to the governor's mansion.
I plan to sleep there this week and be back in the residence using it as it was intended to be, the people's house, welcoming people back there.
He visited a fire station in Mount Lebanon, and while there, also said he had talked to the president about the incident at the mansion, and they had a long conversation about U.S. Steel. He didn't reveal what the outcome was yet, but it's not dead.
And at Orlando International,
passengers had to exit the plane on emergency slides near the wing, then line up on the tarmac. Crews evacuated the cabin when flames were seen in the tailpipe of one of the plane's two main engines.
Yeah, Larry, it was a Delta A330 preparing to leave for Atlanta. 300 people were on board. No injuries, though.
That's shocking that nobody was injured, and would be terrifying if you're on a plane with that kind of incident.
It's eye-catching video because it's from one side of the plane, you see nothing, but you can see smoke and flames billowing up on the opposite side of the plane from where the cameras, I guess the airport cameras, were trained on this A330. Thank goodness no one was hurt.
Is it just me, or does it seem like we've had a rash of aircraft-related reports?
Well, they say it's about the same, that it's just we're paying more attention now. Right. I don't know. I think you're right. I think we're seeing more of these than we're used to.
All right, Paul, thank you. This Bloomberg report is brought to you by UPMC Health Plan, your partner in care.